Well, good morning.
Good morning.
What a joy it is to be with you here at Christ the King, Christ is King Church. As Pastor Matt said, we met last year through a mutual friend, Pastor Philip Thompson in Wisconsin. And we are here now attending a pastor's conference in Houston. And I called Pastor Matt several weeks ago and informed him of that. And he said, why don't you come and share your story with us. I want to say thank you so much, and it's a special joy to have my wife with me. We're married 50 plus years, and we have two boys and 9 grandchildren. God has greatly blessed. I have a long story to tell, so I'm going to just plunge into it directly. I'm confident that it will bless you because this is God's story. Amen. God's story. And you can just call me George, that's enough, or Jorge, if that is easier. We have a difficult last name, Chavani Kamana. Well, my wife and I were born and raised in southern India, so our life story is God is faithful. In Philippians 1:6 is the text I'm using this morning, where we know when God begins a work, He will complete it, finish it, and that's our story. And our story, I'll go through this very quickly, the initial part. Our story begins in southern India. We are southerners. We don't talk like you all talk, but we are southerners. Born and raised in southern India in a state called Kerala. Maybe one of you have heard of it. Kerala is so beautiful. Billy Graham refers to it in his autobiography, Just As I Am, as one of the most beautiful places he has seen. I don't know whether he has said that about San Antonio. It's incredibly beautiful. And the largest number of Christians in India are in Kerala. We call ourselves St. Thomas Christians, because tradition is St. Thomas, the apostle, Doubting Thomas, remember him? Yes. Why do we call him Doubting Thomas? Everybody doubted, but somehow he stuck with it because he expressed his doubt. He came there and baptized our forefathers. That's the tradition. So we were born, both my wife and I were born in that tradition of St. Thomas Christians. Won't take too long. My wife became a believer at a very young age. Her father was a pastor until the Lord called him home. My parents were active members in the Anglican Church. We were raised in the Anglican tradition. And I wanted to become a lawyer, a politician. Aren't you glad I didn't become a politician? Even though I was raised in a godly home, I didn't know the Lord as my Savior until I was 19 when I was studying in the university. In 1967, the Lord confronted me and transformed my life. You don't become a Christian by being born in a Christian home. You become a Christian by being born again. Amen. Are you born again this morning? Yeah. I hope you are. If not, call Jesus. He will do it for you today. Well, we grew up together. We knew each other all our life. We are next door neighbors. I set my eyes on her when she was about 4 years old. And the Lord blessed me later on. We completed our university education, and Leela became a teacher in Kathmandu, Nepal. And from Kathmandu, Nepal, we were engaged by then. From Kathmandu, Nepal, God opened a door for her to come to Minnesota, of all places, in 1972. And I followed her, and we got married in Jackson Street Assembly of God Church in St. Paul, Minnesota, September 1, 1973. I'm giving you the date so you can send us an anniversary gift, September 1. We just completed 50 last year. This will be 51. So we ended up in Minnesota, of all places. I'm raised in southern India, where we have 3 seasons, hot, hotter, and hottest. And ends up in Minnesota. My first job was with Northwestern Bank. My shift ended at middle of the night. I had to walk 3 miles home, because when you are new in the country, you don't have a car. Anybody from Minnesota? Winters are nice and warm, right? Oh, I have cried many times, because I'm 6 feet tall, And don't tell this to anybody. When I came to America, I weighed 118 pounds. Minnesota went through me. So the first opportunity we got, we moved to Southern California in 1974. I wanted to do theological studies. I was preaching, by the way, from 67, I was preaching almost every day with no theological training. So I wanted to study in Fuller Seminary. I had heard of Fuller. Anybody heard of Fuller Seminary in Pasadena? Some of you may have. Great seminary. Wanted to study there. So I enrolled there in 74. My wife started working for Bank of America, and our first child was born in Pasadena in 1975. Things were tough, so I had to take up all kinds of janitorial work and this and that to support, but the Lord blessed us. Graduated from Fuller, and World Vision. You heard of this organization, World Vision? I can never pronounce that word right. You know, English is not my mother tongue. I started learning it when I was about 6 years old. MAT, MAT, SAT, SAT, RAT, RAT. English is a difficult language to learn. But God helped me, but still I cannot pronounce certain words. I speak with an accent. You don't have an accent. Are you listening to me? Will you help me by laughing at my silly jokes? World Vision, great organization. And the Lord helped me to climb up the ladder there and became in charge of a large department. But the call of God to India was alive. You know, once the Lord calls you, He never lets you go. Isn't that wonderful? Once the Lord calls you, maybe there is somebody here who is running away from the call of God. Better not to run away. Say yes. So we kept saying, okay, Lord, we will go back. And 1984, we toured India, particularly North India. Our call was to North India. Where are we from? South India. Most Christians in India are in South. North India is home to the largest number of unreached people groups in the world. Do you know that phrase? Unreached people groups? Largest number of unreached people group in the world are in North India. Still, if you know joshuaproject.net, go there. They will give you all the statistics. North India still has scores of languages with no scripture translated into it. Did you know that? India has over 450 languages. Did you know that? I hope you learn a few things this morning which will motivate you to pray for India. That's the purpose for which we have come. We have come to make every single one of you a missionary to India. But I know you cannot come because India no longer allows foreign missionaries. But you can pray. You can be on your knees and be a missionary to India. Over 450 languages, out of which over 70 still has no scripture. So our call was to North India, and that was simmering in our heart. We traveled all through North India with our children, and the Lord said, this is the time to come. So we started one prayer, very important. This was the prayer my wife and I started in 1984. Lord, lead us to Thee. Lead us to Thee. Come on, help me. Lead us to Thee. Exact place. Where you want us to be in North India. Because North India is hostile to gospel. Very hostile. Culture is completely different from South. I'm wearing a North Indian garb. This is called, would you like to learn the name of this? It's called kurta. Say it with me. Kurta. Kurta. And Indians normally don't wear a pants with it. Do you know what they wear at the bottom? Pajama. Did you know the English word pajama came from this? Ah, you learned something. Yeah. The British came to India. They saw that. They adopted because it's very loose and comfortable. So they took that Indian word and it became an English word. There are many Indian words that have become English words. No time to tell you all of them. But one, pajama. Completely different diet, food, language, everything. So we were afraid, truly speaking. So we started praying this prayer. And we had no idea God was going to answer precisely that word, exact. Exact.
Just hold on. I'll tell you the story. So we came back. I submitted my resignation to my boss. And my boss said, no, you cannot. He was very happy that we were going to India. But you cannot go right away. Because at that time, I was in charge of a very large department. And they said, you need to give me 1 year to find the person, train the person, and give them charge. We agreed. So January 15, 1986 was decided as the last day. But do you know, as that day approached, fear began to well up in our hearts. Because we have come from India. We know how difficult life is. And we have two amazingly brilliant kids. You know, your parents are willing to go through sufferings, right? But you don't want your children to suffer. How will we educate them? All kinds of fears. Is it really God calling us? Is it anxiety about children's future? Was the biggest fear in our heart. And then there were many well-meaning friends who said, oh, you are doing foolish. You are already touching the world through World Vision. It's a great ministry. Why would you want to leave it and go back to North India? In October of 1985, that means I have only 2 months' paycheck left, November and December, because submitted resignation accepted. I went to a conference in Roseburg, Oregon. Anybody from Oregon? Beautiful city, Roseburg, Oregon. Went there with fear and trembling, saying, God, you have to speak to me. You have to speak to me. And there was a powerful move of the Holy Spirit in one of the night services. An altar call was given. I ran to the altar. I went over that corner and I knelt there and I'm crying. Of course, hiding my tears, saying, God, speak to me. And then people were coming and laying hands on and ministering. And somebody came and laid hands on my shoulders and leaned over to my ear and very softly said, Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Jireh. The Lord, come on, help me. The Lord will provide. It was a feminine voice, a woman's voice. Soft voice. The moment she spoke that, it thundered inside of my soul. I knew God spoke because the fear lifted, anxiety lifted. But the very next moment, the devil put doubt in my heart. Devil is very clear, clever. He's very clever. And so I thought, oh, it must be somebody who knows my situation. They must have just said that to console me. So I opened my eyes and looked, and it was a lady I didn't recognize. So at the end of the service, I went looking for her. I found out she was Carol Allen, all the way from Fort Wayne, Indiana. She and her husband, Ron Allen, were pastors in a vineyard church in Fort Wayne, Indiana. They didn't know me from Adam. So I met her and I said, why did you come and tell me what you said? And she said, did I offend you? Did I say something wrong? I said, no, I just want. And she said, the Lord told me to tell you. Brothers and sisters, our God is a God who speaks. He is a God who speaks. And I went home from there with conviction that it is God who has called. And it is God, and He will supply our needs. January 15 was my last day. January 16, we were off to India. Praying the same prayer. What's the prayer? Lord, lead us to Thee. Exact place you want us to be in North India. We travel all through North India. Wherever we will go and meet with Christian leaders and share with them. At that time, our vision was very small. Our plan was maybe start a small Bible training center where we can train 5, 8, 10, because we didn't have resources. So we will share that and people will tell, go here, go there. And one man of God that we respect very, very much directed us to a city called Dehradun. You never heard of Dehradun, have you? Anybody heard of? Nobody has heard of that. India has so. You heard of Bombay, you got New Delhi, you got Calcutta. Dehradun is a beautiful city at the foothills of the Himalaya Mountains. I know you folks pronounce it Himalaya. We forgive you. We mispronounce a lot of English words, so feel free to mispronounce one Indian word. But if you want to pronounce it right, it is not Himalaya, it is Himalaya. Even Dan rather mispronounces it. Everybody in America mispronounces. You know why it is important? I hope children are listening and learning the meaning of the word Himalaya. How many, any of you children know the meaning of the word Himalaya? You know about Himalaya? Tallest mountains in the world. Tallest mountain. You know what it means? It's made up of two Sanskrit words. First is himam, which means snow. Second is alaya, with a long A, not short A. Alaya means house, house of snow. That's what Himalaya means. Children, you learned something new today, right? Because you came to church. When you make it Himalaya, meaning changes. Because short A, alaya means ocean. So house of snow becomes ocean of snow. It's okay to say it ocean of, that's just a foot, beautiful city. And we wanted to buy 5 acres of land. And that was big in my mind, 5 acres. So we consulted with a lot of real estate agents and they all said, come with $50,000, we will get you 5 acres of land. Land is expensive in India, particularly cities, because we have so little land and so many people. Did you know India is the largest country in the world now by population? Overtook China and became the largest country in the world. Particularly cities are so crowded. And Dehradun is all hilly, so buildable land is expensive. $10,000 for an acre. Well, we said, if it is God's will, he will provide. He said, he is Jehovah Jireh. So we took that step of faith and talked to real estate agents and you look for the land, we'll come with money. And the Lord began to work. The Lord began to work. One thing I want you to hear me very clearly today is our God is a God who keeps his promises. Amen. Our God is a God who keeps his word. He is not a man that he should lie. Once we took the step of faith, God began to move. One of the first miracles that happened was this. World Vision, the organization that I worked for, my big boss called me and said, George, come to my office. We want to do something for you. I thought they'll write a big check for me. My own department raised every year over $100 million at that time. I'm talking about the 80s. So they can write a big check. But he said, well, the best thing we can do for you is let people know about you. And then I thought, they'll put two lines where nobody will see because they are raising money for themselves. Are you with me? I'm speaking a little too fast. Are you understanding me? My accent is okay? Okay. And when the article came out, it was a 2 full-page article with my picture. Look at me with black hair. That's almost 38, 39 years ago. And it began to generate letters from all over the world. Because World Vision magazine goes to all over the world. We got letters from all over the world. Literally all over the world. Got letters from Africa, from Korea, from, of course, almost all states of the U.S. and Canada. And many with donations in it. And we were part of a church called West Los Angeles Christian Center in Los Angeles. I was an associate pastor in that church. And our pastor's name is Pastor Herb Maidwell. Pastor Herb and Judy both have gone on to be with the Lord now. And we had good friends by the name Jim and Beverly Jones, who are accountant and registered nurse. Jim said, well, I'll take care of all the office. We registered an organization called Good News for India to raise funds. And he would pick up letters, deposit checks, send out the receipts. And he will bring me letters he thought I should see. One day he brings a letter to me saying, George, this letter looks like a child's writing to me. I almost threw it out, but I didn't want to throw it out without showing. When you look at the letter closely, you know it's not a child's. It's, you know, my wife says it's excellent penmanship. I read the letter sitting in an office that World Vision had given me. In those days, there were no laptops. Desktops were just becoming, you know, World Vision always had high tech. So they had given me an office with a desktop, a printer, everything. I read the letter. By the way, if you want to read the full letter, it's in this storybook. I have a few copies of our story there.
I hope you will take it and read it. Full letter I have printed in it. And I'm reading that letter, poor penmanship, that's what Jim said. And this is what I heard. Very few experiences in my life where I have audibly heard God. And this is one of those. And this is what I heard. Something very significant will happen with this person. I almost turned around to look, as if I, you know, but of course there was nobody. I realized it's the Holy Spirit. In the letter, she had identified herself as a Southern Baptist. And I knew a little bit about Southern Baptists. They're not very fond of Pentecostals in those days, particularly in the 80s. So I started the reply. I heard the same voice. She told you who she is. Tell her who you are. So I opened the letter by saying, I'm an ordained Pentecostal preacher. I'm part of a fellowship of churches known as CEA, Christian Evangelistic Assemblies, or Grace International. And send the letter away. The name of the lady who wrote the letter was Mrs. Janie New. She was from Elberton, Georgia. Elberton is 2.5 hours northeast of Atlanta. I waited for the reply to come. No reply. And I figured, oh, she found out I'm a Pentecostal. So whatever she was going to do, she'd... Or maybe that was not the Holy Spirit. Listen, the devil will do everything he can to make you an unbeliever. He will. That's what he was trying to do to us. But we pressed on. We have a very good friend who has a very large church in Houston. That's where we are for the conference. His name is Pastor Steve and Becky Riggle. He pioneered that church in 1983. He was pastoring a large church in Livermore, California. That's where we became friends. And he invited me to preach for him the weekend of June 21 to 22 in 1986. And he asked me, what is our need? And I said, trying to raise $50,000. He said, I'll give you the tithe of it. And gave me $5,000. Even though he was pioneering a church and, you know, was going through not the greatest time at that time. Monday morning, he's driving me to the airport. Pastor Steve, if you know him, is an amazing man, a builder who pioneered a big church in the south part of Houston. And they told me, they had 17,000 this Easter. And now he's pioneering a church in the northern part, in the woodlands. That's his, it's almost his hobby, pioneering churches. He told me, George, make a model of the college you want to build. I said, Pastor Steve, I don't know what I will build. I may build one room or two rooms. I don't even have money to buy the land. He said, nah, don't worry, whether you have money or not. Just sit and dream. And build a model. You need classrooms, you need dormitory, you need library. Just build a model. I went home, called my pastor, Pastor Herb, and said, Steve said, what do you think? And Pastor Herb was excited. Come to my office. Before I got to his office, he had a young architect in his office by the name Carl Mantle. I wish I had time to tell you about Carl. I tell about him in the book. Please take and read it. He was a non-practicing Catholic from Austria. The way he got saved is amazing. The story is in the book. And another friend, Craig Reynolds, who is an artist. And Pastor told him, hey, we need to make a model of this college in India. And Carl was ready to make this $20 million complex in India. So I had to tell Carl, no, Carl, it has to be small. He will say, how come, George, you don't have faith? I say, no, my faith is small. Then he tells me, but George, I know nothing about the architecture in India. I said, don't worry, Carl. This is only a fundraising tool. Are you all with me? Nobody's sleeping? It's only a fundraising. You build whatever you want to build. We don't have money. We are not going to be able to build anything. Ah, such a man of great faith, right? And then Carl says, but I want something in this model to be real. Can you describe to me in detail the land you have? I'll make a replica of it. Are you catching? Yes. Are you with me? Yes. What did Carl want to do? He wanted me to describe the land we have so he can make a replica. Do we have any land? No.
We don't even have any land. So I tell Carl, we have no land.
He was a baby in Christ at this time. By the way, he's now a pastor. He left architecture and he's a pastor now. He told me this, George, I'm going to pray and I'm going to ask the Lord to show me the land he has for you in India. Thank God for baby Christians who really trust God. Right? When we become mature, we become kind of hard. He prayed, fasted and prayed. And he built this model. I didn't take him seriously at all. I didn't take him seriously. I thought, this is the enthusiasm of a new believer. I'm out on the road trying to make this race, this 50,000, right? So Carl builds the model. I don't see it. He committed to pray. And he's building it. In the meantime, my wife, as I told you, was a senior officer in Bank of America. She thinks like a banker. And she's very excellent in finances. So one day we are having dinner in our house for a few group friends, our pastor. And as we were sitting around and talk, she says this. This is almost exact quote because I still remember it vividly. She said, we are trying to buy 5 acres of land in India for 50,000. What will we do after we get the land? I feel that if we ask the Lord, he will give us the land for $25,000. Then we will have a little money to start construction. I wanted to say, hey, wait a minute. But you better not when your wife says something, right? As soon as my pastor heard it, he said, that's the Lord's counsel to us. Let's pray. Right around the dining hall table, we held hands and pastor prayed. I'm sitting there. Wait a minute. I talked to real estate agents in Dehradun. Sometimes we put real estate agents in more authority than God. Yeah. Or whoever else. Maybe medical doctor. In more authority than God. Oh no. My God, he's able. Pastor prays, and Jim, the accountant friend, prints this huge dot matrix banner. I think some of you are old enough to remember dot matrix printers. Remember the dot matrix print? He prints this huge banner and hangs it in the foyer of our church, almost like the sign of your church name. And our little church begins to pray. And this Pentecostal preacher is saying, wait a minute. Real estate agent told me, come with 50,000. Now we are praying for 25,000. Well, I just kept quiet. But I said, I'm not going to go until I have 50. That's how much I believed. We had the fellowship of our fellowship, I told you, CEA Grace International. Our annual conference was in Redondo Beach. I wanted to... By September end, we have the money to attend this conference and then go. So board said, do that. And Carl and our friend Craig heard I'll be there. They wanted to surprise me. And they brought the model, beautiful professional model, decorated it, and put it in the foyer of the church as you walk in. And the first thing we see as we walked in is the model that Carl made. This is Carl Mantle. I hope you can see it. I hope you can see the picture clear enough. Can see the layout of the land. I hope you can see me, the brown man, standing right in front of the college. But you can definitely see the steps on the right-hand rear corner, right? This thing just jumps at me. I said, nah, it's just Carl's imagination. It's nothing. It's Carl's imagination. But I cannot put it out of my mind. I cannot put it out of mind. As soon as the conference is over, I'm flying out of Los Angeles on November 5th, 1986. Jim calls me in excitement at 8 o'clock. He was late in picking up the mail. And he says, George, we got another letter from that lady. Remember that lady from Georgia? She wants to give you $200,000 to build a college. Remember what the Holy Spirit said? Something very significant will happen with this person.
It was a memorial gift
to her late husband. Her late husband's name was Luther W. New Jr. Jim took the letter to the pastor. Pastor brought it. We read it together. We called all our board members. And they all said, no problem naming the college as long as she doesn't want to run the college. Why don't you write a note to her and we'll take care of the rest. I wrote the letter literally on my flight to New York, posted it in New York. And I didn't need an airplane to go to India, really. But I decided to take one anyway. And when I reached India, I told my nephew, who is my right-hand man, my sister's son, who has been a missionary in North India since he's 17. I told him about this model in Carl made. They had looked at a lot of, our board members had looked at a lot of property. And we will go to see one after another. And he will keep asking me, do you see the mound with steps on it? He took it very seriously. But no steps, nothing we can afford. Nothing we can afford, even with 50,000. Dehradun is a resort kind of a town. Land prices have been going up. Let me try to make the story as short as possible. Land is measured there by a measurement called biga, B-I-G-A-H. 5 biga make an acre. The least anybody asked us for a biga was 30,000 rupees. So for 1 acre, 30 times 5, it will be? I miscalculated here. 150,000 rupees for an acre total. In other words, 15,000. What is the prayer in Los Angeles? 5,000. 5,000 per acre. 25,000 total. As we were giving up hope, an elderly Hindu gentleman came forward. God is able to use Nebuchadnezzar. Yes. God is able to use Darius. God is able to use Hindus to fulfill his purpose. An elderly gentleman comes forward and says, I'm going to get you this land. And he leads us to a place. My nephew Babu sees the land. I see it. Neither of us need to ask the question, is there any steps? Is there any mound on the land? Look at that. On the right hand rear corner. There is one difference. In Carl's model, the steps are long and big. In reality, the steps are short. That's the only difference. Layout of the land is exactly same. If I didn't know any better, I would have thought Carl stood where we stood when he made that model in Los Angeles. My nephew look at me and I look at it and we both run. I don't know if you can see people sitting on top of that mount or not. That's how big it is. So you have to compare to the size of the people. There are 2 people sitting. Unfortunately, the picture is not clear. By the way, that's the foothill of the Himalaya Mountains. Beautiful mountains. We ran and we got on top of those steps. And we had an old-time revival by the time the Hindu gentlemen and others caught up with us. So we asked him, how big is the land? He said, it's over 5 acres. How much is the man asking? I told you, the least anybody asked us up to that point was 30,000 per biga. And this man, the owner, who was a medical doctor, another Hindu man, Dr. Goyal, V.K. Goyal, asked us 10,000 rupees per biga. So we asked him, what's wrong with your land? And he said, there is something wrong with my land. He said, if my land was zoned commercial or residential, I can get 3-4 times. But my land is zoned agricultural. My father purchased it a number of years ago to convert it into a mango garden, mango orchard. Mangoes grow everywhere there. He planted and planted. Nothing will grow. They die
Normally, mango will grow anywhere, a very sturdy tree. Hindus people are superstitious people. So people began to say, your land is cursed. That's why nothing is growing in your land. He was desperate to sell it. Nothing was growing except grass, you can see. And a few trees that took hold were stunted in their growth, were not growing. The man was desperate to sell it. He said, would you like to have it? And we said, would you sign a contingent agreement? He was a very good man until he passed away recently. He was a very good friend to us, a medical doctor who had a practice in Dehradun. He said, I'll gladly sign a contingency agreement. You can see the layout of the land. That's me who is standing there. It was nothing. It was literally a waste land. He signed the agreement. We surveyed the land. And we gave 6-month deadline. In India, nothing happens in 6 months. Our red tape system is so terrible, especially in those days. Now things are improving a little bit. We surveyed the land. It was 5.9 acres. Guess what we paid? Total, including all the legal expenses, we got 5.9 acres. For, anybody want to guess? $25,000. I came home and I had to apologize to my wife. Mrs. New not only came through with her promise, $200,000. She ended up giving $650,000. I don't have time to tell you, there were some people tried to stop her, saying you are going to, this Indian will steal your money. And she herself told me later on. And they wanted them to give her, they wanted her to give the money to the Baptist home in Calcutta. But she was so sure God spoke to her. God can speak to Southern Baptists. God can speak to anybody. God can speak to a Roman Catholic architect from Austria. God can even speak to a mango garden and make it not grow. The story is in detail. I hope you will take it and read it. Mrs. New came through with a gift. So we were able to start construction. You can see the steps here clearly. The foundation being taken, and soon a beautiful college came up. The campus was dedicated on April 15, 1989 by the president of World Vision. He came over. He was very fond of me. So he and his wife came over and dedicated it. And Mrs. New and her sister came. That's Mrs. New and her sister. She was 81 and her sister was 83. They together, as I told you, gave $650,000. And so we were able to build a beautiful campus. And it was small, started very small, but now, by God's grace, we have become the largest seminary in India. The largest seminary in India. We have an incredibly beautiful campus. These are only a few of the buildings in the campus. We couldn't put all of them into the same. Right in the heart of the campus is our chapel, where we worship the Lord and where we train men and women to preach the gospel. By God's grace, we now have over 3,000 graduates. When we started, we thought we might train 5 or 10, but God had great plans. And we are now offering up to PhD, fully accredited PhD, from very basic courses all the way to PhD. And our degrees are accepted in any university in America. All God's doing. Listen, my brothers and sisters, if God is speaking to any of you to take a step of faith, I want to encourage you, do it. Because if he has called you, by the way, this is our women's dormitory. This women's dormitory was built by our son, our older boy. I told you, our anxiety was about our children, because both of them are exceptionally brilliant. Do you know God opened amazing ways for them to be educated? Our older boy went to Harvard University. Have you heard of Harvard? Not only did he go to Harvard University, The government paid him to go to Harvard. He was chosen as a National Merit Scholar. He did an MD from Harvard, a PhD in chemistry from Harvard, and as a hobby, he did a master's in electrical engineering and computer science from MIT simultaneously, and the government paid for it. When God says he is Jehovah Jireh, he is Jehovah Jireh. He will provide. But you have to take a risk. You have to take a step of faith. He didn't do any of these things until we took the step of faith of leaving our job and going to North India. If you want to see the glory of God, you have to be willing to give up your boat and your net. When he says, come, follow me, if you hold on to the boat and the net, you will never be able to follow him. But if you will give up the boat and the net and take that step of faith, then he will work. That is his story. That is his faithfulness. I told you we have a number of languages with no scripture in India. God helped us to start a Bible training translation school as part of the seminary. Now we have a school of theology, a Bible translation school, and our seminary is the only seminary with a school of music. By the way, we have great need. If you are an accomplished musician, if you can give a few months or a few weeks, come on over. Help us to teach. We get so many applicants because we are, see, in India, if a young Christian wants to learn music, he has to sing the Hindu to Hindu gods because all of our musical training is connected to Hindu religion. And so we wanted to open a school of music to provide opportunity for young people to learn, to become worship leaders. And one great need is that. So I'm just putting it out. If you know good musicians who are willing to come over and help us, it's a great need. So though our vision was very small, God's faithfulness is great. And as a result, now we have graduates serving God all across the globe. We have missionaries in Africa. We have missionaries in Indochina, our graduates. And we have even pastors in the United States now, pastoring Indian congregations. So the Lord helped us to write this little story in this book. Look at the title that God gave us. From a Barren Mango Orchard, a Story of God's Faithfulness. A Roman Catholic architect from Austria, a Southern Baptist lady from Georgia, a Pentecostal preacher from India, and a mango orchard that won't grow. What can God do with these? It's available on Amazon if you want to buy it from Amazon. If you can spell my last name, that's the only, there's only one name in Amazon with that. But if you remember the From a Barren Mango Orchard, a Story of God's Faithfulness, you can search with that too. We have a few copies here. We ask you, the cost is $15. If you want to give $1,500, we will take. Everything will go to the ministry. Thank you for listening to the story of God's faithfulness. If you'd like to know more about our work, our website is goodnewsforindia.org. Pray for us. Pray for India. The church in India is going through a very difficult time. You may have heard of Mr. Narendra Modi, our prime minister, and his political party, which is very antagonistic to the gospel. We have a number of pastors in jail right now. They're crying, preaching the gospel. But false cases are charged against them. Two of my own colleagues are facing jail time any day. We are doing everything we can by hiring lawyers and trying to do everything. Pray for the church in India. But I believe when the church in India goes through this difficult time, it will come out far more powerful and glorious. Because gates of hell cannot prevail against God's church. When he begins a good work, he will complete it. So pray for our school. Our school is named after Mrs. New's husband, Luther W. New Junior Theological College. Little long name, but she has given us permission to use New Theological College as short name. in all our documents, the full name is there, because people began to ask us, is this the Lutheran college? So we had to go to her and ask her permission to use just new. So pray for New Theological College. Now we are offering online courses, and there are people from America taking online courses from NTC. So if you're interested, Google and find that out and pray for us. Thank you. The amazing thing is, we can train a young man or a young lady with very little money. I went to Fuller Seminary. I graduated from Fuller Seminary. I did my doctoral studies in Gordon Conwell Seminary in Boston. Both were expensive. In Fuller, when I took courses, one course cost me $800. One four-unit course. In India, we can train a young man or a young lady at a master's level course with total expenditure for the whole year, including books, including their food. It's only about $1,500. Only $1,500. We can house and feed a young man or a young lady in the dormitory for about $30 a month. How much is McDonald's meal now? $30 a month. So when you give to missions, it goes a long way. Thank you for, I understand you supporting a number of missionaries. Thank you for doing that. God will bless you, because people are still waiting to hear the gospel, and we have responsible for that. Thanks again for listening to me. Thank you, Pastor Matt. Our newsletter is there. It's free. Please take it. This is the graduation issue. You will see, you will read the amazing testimony of three graduates inside. One, a Hindu young lady from Nepal, and two professional young people who have given up their jobs and come to study God's word. God is moving in India. Pray for us, and if the Lord leads you, come and visit us. India is a beautiful country. Take a vacation to India. We'll give you the best chicken curry in the world and take care of you. Thanks so much, Pastor Matt. God bless you.